Have you ever been reading something and it just stops you in your tracks? Where you read something and it makes you consider the way you've lived your entire life? Welcome to This Divine Moment, a podcast all about learning to notice and respond to the work that God is already doing in each of our lives. In today's episode, I will share with you something that I read just today and how it stopped me in my tracks and made me reconsider an entire way that I've been living my life. And my hope is that by sharing my divine moment, that you can have a divine moment of your own. Well, hey everyone, welcome to This Divine Moment. I am your host, Ben Cornick. If you don't know me, I am a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, I'm a speaker, and I'm a reader. I think most of you know that already, but I love to read. And just today, I was reading this book, well, rereading a book by Brennan Manning called The Ragamuffin Gospel. It's an incredible book. It just helps us to see God through the lens of grace. And I read this line that really captured my attention. He talks about this moment where Jesus is talking to the disciples about who can enter the kingdom of God. And he answers them in a way that I think is surprising to them, and probably surprising to us, to be honest. I think we might say things like, who gets to enter the kingdom of God? Like, who gets to be in heaven for all of eternity? And we might say things like, well, the really religious people. Or we might say things like, really good people. We might say things like, people who attend church every week. Depending on your faith tradition, maybe it's for you people who went to confession regularly, took communion, got confirmed. Maybe your faith tradition moves more towards practices like fasting and certain times of the year where certain religious festivals and traditions must be held. We might think it's the people who gave a lot of money or who served other people. And Jesus didn't say anything like that. It's so weird what he says. What he did is there was a kid like standing next to Jesus, and he just looks at the kid and he says, anyone who wants to be in the kingdom of God must become like this little child. He tells them that childlikeness is the prerequisite for entering the kingdom. Now, as we go through different places in the scriptures, there's places that say things like, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we start to see this pattern that, you know, and to love others, that we're called to love all people, that we are called to be humble before the Lord. Well, children, they have no sense of pretense, Brennan Manning says. He said they don't have this, they're not very self-conscious. They don't really have this idea of self-importance. They just live life. He talks about a story of a little boy and his parents who came to his house one time, and he answered the door and he said, hey, it's really good to see all of you. And the little boy, without saying anything else, looked at him with a firm look in his eyes and said, where are the cookies? And if any of you have kids or have been around kids, it's just so true. That's how kids are. They're not thinking about the big questions of life. They're not thinking about whether, you know, their sins are, displeasing to God. Like, they're not even concerned about that or worried about that. They are just living life. So the reason that that matters is because then Brennan talks about how there's a point in our lives where, as kids, we are completely unself-aware. Now, is self-awareness a bad thing? No, because we're not children anymore. So, of course, we need to become self-aware. The more self-aware we are, the more that we actually have the ability to allow God to move in our lives. I've talked about this in multiple times on the podcast, that the more you understand yourself, the more you're going to understand about God. And the more you understand about God, the more you're going to have to understand about yourself. It's just the way that it works. So why does this matter to me today? Well, what it did is it led me into a divine moment. You know, I'm a big believer in counseling. I'm a big believer in self-reflection and in spiritual practices. But sometimes these divine moments, they sneak up out of nowhere. And so, of course, I was facilitating it by reading this book. But what happened is as I read what Manning put down on paper, I asked myself, when did I become more self-aware? Like as a child, when was that moment that like my innocence kind of disappeared and I became self-aware? Well, when I was 8 years old, my mother, who was just a really heavy drinker, she was an alcoholic, she was put into the hospital because her liver was failing her. They call it cirrhosis of the liver. And she was in a coma for months. She came out of it and she survived. But I remember that season really rocking my life. I mean, up until then, you know, there was nothing really major that kind of disrupted my life. So that was like a major disruption. Well, it was after that that I had this, you know, I guess moment. When I was 9 years old, I don't really remember the day or the moment itself, but I definitely remember this happening. I remember the shift that took place in me. So I can't tell you where I was standing. I can't tell you what I was doing, but I had this time in my life where I realized, I looked at my mom's life and even some of the lives of other people that I knew. And then I looked at the lives of other people. Even some people that were family members, some people that were just like the parents of my friends. And I saw that some people lived a life of what looked to me like ease and joy. And then there was my family who was living this really difficult, frustrating life. And I was like, what is the difference? And in my 9-year-old brain, the only thing that I could come up with was money. Some families had money. And others didn't. And the ones who did, man, those are the ones who are really enjoying life. And of course, at the time, I couldn't understand the way that addiction can throw people into a pattern of robbing them of their lives and throwing them into a cycle of poverty. And no matter how hard you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, if that addiction is still taking you out from, you know, the knees, that you're just going to continue to fall into that cycle. I had no concept or understanding of how addictions and hurts and habits and all these things can play into the human psyche. I didn't understand that at 9 years old. All I knew is that I saw some families who had money. My family didn't. And I realized if I want to live a different life than what I see modeled before me right now, I need to go make money. That was just the conclusion that I made. So at the age of 9, I got my first job as a paper boy. And then I got more paper routes as time went on. I started mowing lawns. I would shovel driveways. I would do anything and everything I could think of to go make money. The rest of my friends were learning how to do like BMX tricks on their bikes and how to win Mario Kart. And I was out there figuring out how to make more money. And so what happened is I started to become preoccupied with the future. It was really like the future, it was almost tyrannical for me. I always had to be thinking, how can I control my future outcomes? How can I change my life for the better? And so I'm just reflecting on that today, that there was a moment in my life where I realized if I want to live a different kind of life, that I need to make money. And what that resulted in was this preoccupation with the future. Now, I'd love to tell you that as soon as I gave my life to Christ, that all went away. But I would be lying to you, because even today, I still struggle with this desire to control the future, which, of course, I cannot control the future. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. You could have everything prepared for you. I was just reading a Wall Street Journal article. It was written from the perspective of millennials. who have never known a recession and inflation combination quite like the one that we are experiencing right now. And the article was titled, I prepare for everything, but I wasn't prepared for this. And the idea was that you could prepare for any and every eventuality, but there will always be something that you didn't know was coming. So because of that, I have to accept the fact that I can't control the future, but I become preoccupied with it anyway. I think that if I pray enough and think enough and strategize enough and plan enough and create contingency plans and think about all the things that could take place and all the things I need to be prepared for, that I somehow can control the future. But that's just not reality. Reality, which is where God meets us, God doesn't meet us anywhere but reality, is the reality of it is I can't control the future. And actually, many of the best things that have ever happened to me came out of nowhere. Sort of like the kids who would fall into Narnia. I mean, those are the moments in my life, these kind of whimsical, surprising moments where I couldn't have planned it, anticipated it, and yet these are the best things that have ever happened to me. Very rarely did I plan for the best things that have happened. And so I have to reckon with that. That there is a point in my life where I lost that childlike innocence. I lost that childlike mentality to just live in the moment, to just be present to what is happening right now. Because that's, Manning talks about this. He says, that's the thing about little kids is they're so present to what's happening right now. They're not preoccupied with the past. They're not preoccupied with the future. They're not worried about all the details. They're not worried about bills and consequences and all of this. They're just considering what's happening right in front of them right now. Now, as an adult, if we truly live that way within our own sin nature, well, then that's super unhealthy if we just live by our impulses. So when we put it together with some of the other Bible verses that I talked about earlier, like how without faith we can't please God and how he's called us to be people who love, to keep our mind on things above. Now we get this picture of not this impulsive, kind of greedy little child. We get the picture of a kid who still has that sense of innocence about them. And again, if you've been around children, you see those moments where kids are just preoccupied with a flower. Or they're just preoccupied with like, a worm inching along the ground, and they giggle and they laugh, and they're like, "What is going on with this worm?" They have absolute joy by being handed a toy, or even the box the toy came in. Sometimes they're more excited about that, and so it's more about this joy, this peace, this ability to live life without worry. And Jesus says, do not worry about your lives because God's going to take care of you and you don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. So why worry about it when each day has enough worry of its own? It's about living with love for other people. Have you ever seen the generous love that little children will give to people? They will smile and wave at everybody, no matter who they are. They will try to hug and kiss people who are random strangers. They will hand their candy or whatever away to people they've never met. I mean, there's a generosity of spirit that many little kids have. And I think this is what Jesus was getting at with his disciples. Like, these are the kind of characteristics of someone who lives in the kingdom of God. And we see that even when it describes the peace of, or the fruit of the Spirit. And so, in my mind, I think that was what was sort of robbed from me in that moment when I decided that the only way I was going to live a good life was to be focused on the future, to make money, to try to control my future outcomes by making money. So let me ask you, when was that moment for you as a kid? When was the moment that you stopped thinking like a child? When was the moment that you were forced to start thinking like an adult? When was the moment that you had to start living differently than you did as just a child, sort of taken back by the wonder of the world? When was that moment that that crashed down for you? And that something shifted in your soul, something shifted in your heart and in your mind, and you decided that you had to live differently. Maybe there was a moment where you were hurt by someone you loved and you realized you couldn't trust anyone anymore. Later on, a few years later, when I had actually saved up a lot of money, I had made a lot of money and I'd saved up a lot of money because, again, I was trying to control my future. I had a family member actually rob me of all of my money. They took it without asking. And I only found out later. And so that was a moment that I realized, I don't know that I can really trust people. Did you have a moment like that? Or maybe you had a moment where someone did something that really hurt you or bothered you, and your response was just anger. And now you're just angry at everybody. You're angry at the world. You're ready to fight anyone at any time. So your response to that was, the only way I can control the world around me is if I'm angrier and stronger and more powerful than everyone else around me. Maybe you were like me and you figured, well, if I can make enough money, I can control my future. And there's countless ways that this can work. But the formula that I'm talking about here is that you were innocent. You moved into a moment where you realized that the world didn't quite work the way you thought it did, that there is actually things about this life that are difficult, and that you had a moment where that innocence was lost and something shifted. And now you're going, oh, I actually can pinpoint that moment in my childhood. Maybe, again, maybe you don't remember the scenery, maybe you don't remember the moment itself, but is there a season that you can pinpoint where you say, I started to think differently. I started to not trust people. I started to worry about the future. I started to be concerned about what others thought about me, like preoccupied with it. And this is about preoccupation, like obsessive thought process around something. Like for me, it was this obsessive desire to control my future outcomes. And I believed that the recipe for that was to make a lot of money. That was my only way that I was going to be able to control my future. And that still is a huge aspect of my life today. That one of my greatest acts of spiritual worship is when I let go of the desire to control the outcome, that I just have to be in the present, to trust, and to allow things to just take place and just go, hey, whatever happens, I have to just love, I have to trust the Lord. And that can be really difficult for someone who at a moment in his childhood decided that I didn't want to live a certain type of life, so I had to control my outcomes. So I would hope that all of us would be able to pinpoint that moment or that season in our childhood. And if you can't, honestly pray about it. If we serve a God who is all-knowing, I believe that we can ask him to show us that season of our lives. And if you're going, I really am struggling with this, I would even say, well, set up a meeting with a spiritual director or a counselor or someone who can help you really walk through that process. Now, once you've kind of diagnosed this shift that took place in you, and maybe it was multiple shifts, maybe there's multiple things that kind of invaded that childhood space of yours. Now what you do is you just go, okay, this is truly a part of my story. This is truly a part of my journey of identity, but it doesn't have to continue to be. And so now once you've identified that thing, and then we think back to what Jesus said about those who enter the kingdom of God are those who are like little children. Now think about how letting go of that preoccupation, that obsessive compulsion to live life in a certain way that's kind of robbed you of that childhood innocence, say, okay, if I let that go, what can happen? And here's what's been happening for me. As I've let go of this preoccupation to have to control the future, my mind is much more clear. Now, it's not easy. I mean, this is like literally a daily struggle for me. But when I am not obsessed with trying to plan out the future, I actually get to be present to the moment of what's happening. And what it's allowed for is much more freedom in my life. Freedom to just be with people. Freedom to play with my kids and to just enjoy what's happening in the moment. Freedom to, you know, not have to worry about what's happening next and trust that God is going to take care of me. So very often I will pray prayers like this. God, right now, I feel very concerned about what's going to happen with this, this, or that. But instead, let me just praise you. Let me just thank you that I know that you are God, that you are the one who has my life in your hands, that you are the Lord of yesterday, today, and forever. And so I don't have to worry about tomorrow because you already are Lord over that day. And I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and instead of worrying, I'm going to believe that you truly are who you say you are. Now, again, it's not easy, and I have to do it regularly. But what happens then is after the fact, I get to simply enjoy the moment. So I pray that the same thing can happen for you. May you be able to discern that season in your life where innocence was lost and you began to obsess over some area of control in life. May you find freedom from that as you learn what it means to live like a little child who receives the kingdom of God in its entirety. May you be someone who grows in the fruit of the Spirit. May you see peace and joy and kindness and gentleness grow in your life. May you be able to be present to each moment. May self-awareness grow in you without it turning into self-consciousness. And may you receive the peace and the joy that God is trying to give you in each and every moment. Well, hey, thank you for joining me for this divine moment. I hope and pray that this serves you well and that this was helpful to you today. I hope that you continue to be able to see those moments where you can step into living like a little child who receives the kingdom of God in faith. Well, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And I hope that you join me again soon for another episode of This Divine Moment.